While the choir are moving, I'm just to say that I quote a number of Bible passages in my sermon, but in most cases I'm not going to mention where it's come from, so it'll give you a chance when you get home to look it up yourself and see where it did come from. But they're all genuine Bible passages, and so let's pray. Lord Jesus, I must say I found this sermon quite hard to prepare, and yet with your help, we will hear your word and be influenced by it. And so may I decrease, and you, Lord Jesus Christ, increase as we listen to your word spoken through me. For your glory, amen. Would you like to be seated? As Christians, we want our children, and if we have any grandchildren, to be faithful to ourselves, of course, but more importantly, to Jesus Christ. We want their marriages, that's our children's marriages, if and when they happen, to be relationships in which both parties are faithful to one another until death, with neither party ever looking to another sexually or for any other reason. And this starts often before we get married in the first place. I remember before my marriage to Caroline, taking a walk, as I so often did in those days, close to Kew Gardens in London, and praying as to whether it was to be right that I should move from the Church of Rome to the Church of England and then marry Caroline. I had actually already asked her. It was the spiritual side about which I was concerned and was looking forward to what would happen. That was my prayer. And one of the wonderful things about when you get older is you can look back and see your life sort of in better perspective. And looking back now, years later, I realize that God has answered my prayer. For what I wanted in that prayer was a Christian family, which in effect meant faithfulness to Christ by me, by my wife, any children we had. And looking back now at our children's families, I see our children in Christian ministry and, frankly, fulfilling things for Christ which were being quite beyond me. Now, you may wonder what this focus on faithfulness has to do with our passage. Would you like to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 6, Old Testament, page 600? That's the first part of the book. Page 600, and as read, the verses start at chapter 6, verse 20, although I do use some other later verses as well, as you will see. These four verses are about families and faithfulness, particularly faithfulness in marriage. You only have to read the remaining verses, 24 to 29, to realize this. And we will extend this focus on faithfulness to the following of Jesus by marriage partners and any children and any grandchildren. Notice the words, verse 20, "My child, keep your father's commandment, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Mum and dad, as Christians, are in the family to teach their children, and if possible, their grandchildren, to follow Jesus, be faithful to him, and take the gospel to others, especially to their children. And I can remember now, looking back to my childhood, that every evening my mother would bring us together to pray before we went to bed. And that is a beginning, that is a start to realize that Jesus Christ is significant and should be significant in your life. And so when I prayed that prayer before our marriage near Kew Gardens, that's what I wanted. I really wanted a Christian family. These four verses in Proverbs, in a real sense, repeats those famous verses in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, when you lie down, and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And it's lovely when sometimes I go into Christian houses, and it may be not on their doorposts, but it's on the wall somewhere. Christ is in command here. That's the sort of wording you so often read. And it immediately hits you, and you think, this is really special because this household is following Jesus. Just think, as Christians today in Crowborough, if we follow this teaching, what an example we shall be to our families, certainly, to our friends, neighbours, and not least to our work colleagues. You know, people notice. They can tell often before you even meet them and talked with them that you're a Christian. I remember when I was working in London many years ago, and I changed my job, and I was in this London solicitor's firm for 3 years. And when I got there, I noticed the one Christian partner, without even talking to her, it was quite obvious that she was a Christian because of her example, because of the way she acted, because you could see the Lord Jesus Christ in that woman, in the way she lived. Now that's wonderful, and it's something that we can emulate and be faithful like that, and people will notice and be influenced. The remaining verses of our passage, verses 21 to 23, reinforce the theme of faithfulness. Make our following of God heart following. There is a difference. It's not just words, it's heart following. Heart following of the commandments, being there always to watch over us, whether sleeping or awake, for they are a lamp and teaching a light. Further, they make us realize that a disciplined life is the right way to live, one in which we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit to increasingly avoid sin. And wonderfully, in our modern world, follow the Lord Jesus in godliness, i.e., in the fear of the Lord. I'm not going to tell you what to look up for that one. You're in Proverbs already. There is also reference in Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now looking at the New Testament, remember Jesus' words. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. They are incredible words. Do we understand that a life of faithfulness, godliness, becomes an example to our families, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our work colleagues, our neighbours, particularly our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus, our marriage vows, the way we live, that is, with the help of the Holy Spirit, increasingly conquering sin, trusting God when problems like illness or job difficulties, to take just two examples, occur. And always trying, and I know we fail, but always trying to live in accordance with God's word. Now, isn't that exciting? Isn't that something to dedicate our lives to? It's a wonderful possibility. In Mark's prayers, he mentioned our nation. Our nation today is still the nation that I really love. And yet, as a nation, we seem to have lost the Christian faith. Or most of us seem to have lost the Christian faith, which originally formed the basis of our laws, our customs, and the way we are meant to live. There is surely sadness that God's commandments so often do not preserve a man from the wife of another. How many men and women who are married give way to the beauty of another? That is, have an affair or a one-night stand. Personally, I am upset when on TV I see an interview showing a single mum trying to make ends meet financially without a husband, having to feed and bring up, say, three children on her own. And that's not just one interview on TV. I seem to see it all the time. There's always a missing person. The wife of another may stalk a man's life, but to abide by one's marriage vows, be faithful to one wife or husband, is the Christian way. It's both the beginning and continuation of wisdom. Now I know that we do fail, and so does the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why he died on the cross, so that any of us who fail in life can look to the cross and start again. And so I add that those of us, either men or women, who have suffered the breakdown of a relationship, are, because of Jesus' death on the cross, as they look to him, accepted fully by him and given new starts in life. The wonderful thing about Christian faith is the new life that Jesus gives to us, wiping out the past, making way for our new faithfulness. Isn't that wonderful? And isn't the cross the greatest time that ever has been on this world of ours? But let's get back to families, children and grandchildren. How do we help them to commit their lives to Christ and take on what sometimes can be felt as, yes, the burden of faithfulness? What do we understand from the words, "For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline"? We cannot indoctrinate family members. I remember someone in our church years ago telling me that he really wished now, within his own family, that he had taken a softer approach with his children, insisting that they attend church as he did. Sadly, sometimes that approach puts children off faith in the Lord Jesus. It is the example that counts. It's the example which changes people's lives. It is the example of Jesus that changed lives of people he met in his earthly ministry. Why do you think Zacchaeus changed? Why do you think he came down from the tree? Because he could see in Jesus the example that he wanted to emulate himself. And that's what made him pay off the people he should have paid off in the first place. That is the reason why his life was changed. And what happened was that Jesus came to have supper with him. And so sometimes our example and having supper with a non-Christian or somebody who has not yet committed their life to Jesus can change that life completely, because they look at you and they see not you but Jesus Christ, and he is the person who must increase in every single one of us so that people's lives are changed. Faithfulness to Christ and the gospel is like faithfulness to one's marriage partner. Such faithfulness becomes a lamp for others to see. Take note and decide for themselves that life with Jesus is the life for me. Discipline as a Christian follows from faithfulness, because as a committed Christian, the Holy Spirit is in charge of our life, and little by little, not in our own strength, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we become holier. And the closer to Christ you get, the less you feel you are getting closer to Christ. The more holy you can see a person to be, you can tell, be absolutely certain that that person does not feel like that. Look at Paul and see the way that he said he was the chief of sinners because he was so close to Christ. Being a Christian is being ever drunk with the good wine of the gospel, and is very compelling for others, particularly family members. Further, remember that once somebody not yet a Christian observes even for a moment or two the glory of the Lord Jesus, he or she will not want to resist the call of faith. All through history, you've seen how people suddenly realize that Jesus is the person to follow. I think of a lady in our parish who years ago went to a carol service, and we're coming up to Christmas now, and as she heard one of the carols, her life was changed, because she realized that Jesus Christ was the person that she should follow in faithfulness. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son. Here are the words, full of grace and truth. However, one word of caution. We don't continue as Christians on the basis of experience of Christ, because, as I've said already, faithfulness to Jesus is like a marriage. Whatever happens, we continue as Christians for good. But we do on occasions experience the joy of our relationship with the Lord Jesus, and in some extraordinary way know his glory. After my health problems earlier this year, as I read the Psalms, some of them especially appropriate to what happened to me, and also taking the bread and wine at Holy Communion, I felt incredibly thankful, obviously for your prayers, obviously for the surgeon, doctors and nurses who cared for me so wonderfully, but most of all for Jesus' healing and presence during my difficult months. In that sense, I experienced Jesus' glory and presence. When I read verses 24 to 29 of Proverbs 6, I realize, as we all should, that the light of Christ beckoning us on in the Christian life is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. In families, if mum and dad firmly believe this, children and grandchildren will notice, be encouraged, and influenced, and so often come to faith and become wonderfully the Christian leaders of the future. To conclude, remember the word keep right at the beginning, keep, in verse 20. Keep faithful to Christ, to our marriage partners, to our children, to our grandchildren, remembering that Jesus promises the faithful, abundant life. That is the fullness of the Christian life, daily relying upon the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness to Christ is in effect having the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Faithfulness brings to us holiness, which is what living the Christian life is all about. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me, i.e. is faithful, will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these." So the future possibilities with our families, and indeed our church family, can be endlessly optimistic as we remain faithful to them. And with Steve Rees, our new vicar, coming next year, there is therefore much to rejoice about and look forward to as together we follow faithfully our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, along, yes, the hard road leading to life, but with a certain destination, heaven. Amen.